Let's see if you are all a little bit rusty. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, you're still bright as ever. Now, over this time away, it's always good to come back and see old faces and new faces and growing faces as well. I mean, some of these kids are growing so tall, I barely even recognized them, but here we are. But all that is happening, from membership, from children participating to baptism, today is a day of celebration. And it is such great timing that it comes right before the new year. A time to reflect on the past as we look to the future. And as we consider those things, and we'll be getting to it here in a little bit, the passage that we'll be getting to is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, there at the end of the passage. And as you're getting yourself situated there and finding your places, we want to talk about labels. Now, people in my generation, we don't really like the talk of labels. We try to push them away. We are individuals, we say, and yet we do things that are very much in our generation. You end up hearing about all the things that the millennials do, and yet we still say that we don't want to be called this, that, or the other. And now, whether it's a situation of we are a member of a class, a member of a society, a member of a church, the friends we have, the family we bear, the different groups that we work with, they all lend to a sense of our identity. And the things we say and do also lend to that identity. They are marks upon our character, whether they are good or bad. They are inescapable, but they are changeable. If there is something we are not proud of in the past, there is hope. And so, I have this thing where we're at, where I always ask a question. I always ask a question because I really like that. It makes us think, it makes us engage in a very specific way with the text. And so the question that I have for this morning, before we get into the text for today, how are we marked and changed by our faith? Let us go ahead then with that question in our mind and go into the text for today. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 41. So it was every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. And after the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for about a day. And then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Oh, good, we're still in practice with that too. And so this time that we are finding ourselves in the text is reminiscent of where we find ourselves in now. This text comes immediately after the text that refers to the birth, the nativity of Jesus, and the experiences that happened within those first infancy years of Bethlehem. As Christ was born, the shepherds came, the angels sang, and the wise men approached to bear their gifts to the newborn king. And so between these verses 40 and 41, 12 years have passed. 12 years in a blink of an eye. I'm sure several parents will probably agree that that seems like an accurate adjustment. An accurate assessment of how it feels that their parents grow up in a blink of an eye. And yet we see our Savior from an infant becoming a young child, on the edge of Jewish adulthood. And so they were going to Passover, as was the custom. And he had matured and developed physically, mentally, and spiritually as naturally as he could in that time. Raised in an obviously devout household, going every year for Passover. But in this moment, we don't see just the divinity of Jesus, but we also see the humanity in him. It is in this that one basic truth of Scripture is manifested, and that is the divine nature of God never interfered nor made unnecessary the normal development of Jesus' humanity. God came to be with us, and so he became like us in all senses of the word. Oh, that's so encouraging to me to read those words and understand that Christ became so much like us that he too had devotion and customs and tradition and a desire to learn. And so we see this devotion being manifested and ingrained into his childhood, this yearly attendance of the festivals, specifically Passover in this instance. This change in the life of a child, this routine in a life of a child, is something that we can appreciate, something that we can look forward to. As we take these children, both physically and spiritual children, together, we can see them grow in that activity. And yet, we are still human. We can still make mistakes. And that's how we get, in this instance, a sort of home alone situation where Mary and Joseph seemingly forget to bring the child Jesus back home. And so, much like that film, Home Alone, we've got Jesus on his own in Jerusalem and Mary and Joseph making about a day's journey before realizing, where's our kid? And so, like any responsible parent, they turned around and went back and began the search. And Jerusalem, even in that day, was a very big city with a lot of hustle and bustle. And so it's understandable that it took them 3 additional days to find him. And so Jesus was alone in Jerusalem by himself doing literally God knows what for 4 days. 4 days in Jerusalem. A child alone. But we know, from an outside perspective, we read this passage, this generations-old story, we look back on it, and we know what happened. Jesus was in the temple. Not only was he in the temple seeking refuge, he was engaging with the teachers of the law and the scribes. And they had this interchange, this young 12-year-old child asking questions and answering questions of how they perceived the world, desiring to gain knowledge and understanding of how it is that the institution sought God. And so we read that the people were amazed when they heard him, that they were astonished by his understanding. You know, they say that kids say the darndest things. Well, this kid certainly asked the most interesting things in that moment. And while he's doing this for, remind you, 4 days, his parents have gone a day outside of Jerusalem, making their way back one day, and then 2 days of searching. Searching around the alleys and the markets and all these places that a child could be lost in. And yet, just like anything, you always find the thing you're looking for in the last place you check. Now, we can understand the notion that Mary and Joseph would have had in searching for their child. They would retrace their steps. They would go around like, okay, we went here, we went to the market to pick up supplies for the trip. We made sure we had enough snacks and drinks to keep the kid satisfied. We made sure we were good. But while they were doing that, Jesus was growing and learning in the wisdom of God in the house of God. And they continue doing this, and then they get to the temple, which eventually they would have had to gone to anyway, because they would have gone to the temple during their stay. And so they approached, they saw, and they found Jesus in the midst of these teachers, talking, speaking, asking, and answering. And of course, they were astonished as well. And yet, as parents would when they have been given quite a fright of their missing child, also very furious. "Why have you upset us so?" Mary asks. And Jesus turns it around. "Did you not know I would be in my Father's house?" Mary, the one whom the angel spoke to, Joseph, whom the angel also spoke to, they knew who Jesus was, and yet the last place they thought to look was the temple on Passover, this holiest of days. But this was not Jesus acting out or lashing out or being disobedient, because we read that after this event, he went home to Nazareth and served and honored his father and mother, Mary and Joseph. And something interesting here at the very end, in verse 52, we see that it is written, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature, and in favor with God and man." This passage, this phrase, was used once before in the Old Testament, I'll remind you. Not sure if you all will recognize it immediately, but it comes out of 1 Samuel, chapter 2, verse 26, speaking of Samuel as a boy. The boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people. And so we see another instance where Jesus is being portrayed and compared to another individual of great standing in the history of the people of God. And so Jesus, in the temple, learning, listening, and asking questions, leading on to having wisdom and stature and favor. Now, this is good. This is great information for us as we grow and learn and seek to understand what it was like for this Jesus that we worship, show great desire in his humanity to know and learn and understand. And today is a very important day as we look at this and we consider the importance of the things we celebrate today. And so we look specifically at devotion. We see time and time again in this passage and throughout the whole gospel, honestly, but we're focusing on this passage today. Devotion at the core of Jesus. Now we have personal devotion, of course. You know, devotionals like the booklets that we have out there on the Welcome Center, and we have our devotional time with our Bibles, and we listen to the devotional hour on the radio or on the YouTube or anything like that. We devote ourselves in time in seeking God. But what does this look like in reality? How do we see this in practice beyond just the passive reading and listening? Well, we see it in asking questions. Another reason why I always ask a question when I speak, because when we ask questions, we focus our minds on what it is that we are seeking to understand about God with us. When we ask questions, we come closer to seeking Emmanuel himself. And we see this in the life of Jesus as he demonstrates the very need to be asking questions and seeking answers and posing one's thoughts. Yes, faith is about certainty. But if we have that without asking questions, the enemy has very good cause to leverage our doubts. But if we ask questions and we seek the source of the Holy Word of God, then we will get the answers that will combat the enemy. And the enemy will use that same word against us. We see this in the very life of Jesus. But in wisdom and application of this, we see the transformation of that word from threat to liberator. And so also in that time, as we are asking questions, we are also invigorating ourselves and getting ourselves excited to come into the very temple and house of God to worship and seek Him. And as we go to seek Him, we have this eagerness of mind and spirit to find Him where we are. No matter what our situation, no matter the questions that are on our mind, no matter the very lives we live, God has come to be with us. And that reminder and that answer to those many questions that we have is something that will transform us into the future. And as we are asking these questions, we are considering the very truth of the gospel. And we see this in the life of Jesus and his family as we see Mary time and time again in this early infancy. Whether it be the words of the shepherd, or the words of Jesus himself. We see her treasuring these things in her heart. To ponder the very word of God. To think on and meditate and get to the point where the word of God is not only in our minds, but inscribed upon our hearts. Oh, what a glorious thing that is to have the word inscribed on our hearts. Because as we have these things stored up, as we have these things engraved in us, we are empowered in our prayer and our future. And we are given that patience enough to seek clarity and understanding and knowledge and wisdom from the very Spirit of God to move us from an observer to a participant in His grace. And as we do these things, we will consistently be amazed by the work God is doing in our lives. Amazement does not mean that we are doubtful. Amazement means that we have seen fulfilled further than we can ask or imagine. And our Lord has certainly done that time and time again. Amen? And as we are devoted as people of God, as members of the family, we are empowered by the Spirit of God, by the example of Jesus, and by the creative power of God the Father to discharge all of our humanly duties in a holy and transformative way. Being transformed, being filled by the Holy Spirit does not mean we get to forget or push aside our human duties. What it means, though, is that we are motivated differently. We are no longer motivated by the accrual of money, but by seeing the benefit that that money can produce in the people who are in need. We are no longer motivated by the prospect of power, but seeing how that power can be used to uplift and treasure and promote the welfare of the people whom God loves. And so as we are discharging these duties, we see that example in Jesus. That Him being fully God and yet also fully man, He still maintained the law. He still honored His father and mother. I'm sure the parents are very excited to hear that one. That we are still opted into that law and yet not restricted by it. We are not a slave to the law, as Paul writes. We are not a slave to that law, but we are enabled by the law of love, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to see it fulfilled in its true intended purpose. And so we do not despise our earthly ties. Those communities that we find ourselves in, the work we find ourselves doing, we are not despising that in our transformation. No. Just because we are God's child does not exempt us from our duties. No siree. But we are empowered to fulfill those duties with supreme and ultimate fidelity, with great faithfulness and effect, completed in a way that is pleasing to God, for we are to do all things as if we are doing it for His glory. And so as we consider all these things and we look at the way that the world is now and the way God desires to be, and how He has declared it is going to be in the end. We can consider these things, and as Mary, treasure them in our hearts. We can see the transformation before us. And so if we take a moment and ponder and consider our own membership, our own baptism, our own introduction into this life of Christ. We'll take a moment for that. And as we consider that, as that is deeply in our mind, let us remember the faces that helped us get there. The family members, the friends, that older church couple that helped get you into the door. That man or woman who encouraged you in your darkest time. That coworker who spoke to you about the love of Jesus. And as we consider that extended family of God, let us ponder in our hearts the impact that God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has had in our lives. That the devotion we have guaranteed of ourselves and committed of ourselves is faithful and true. That even when we falter, He is faithful. And if we are in a time in our lives that we need to recommit ourselves, we need to ask for that rejuvenation once again. We can do so even now. If we've never had that experience, it is never too late. Because God is calling out for you and for me. And God transforms. The darkness of our past, the sins of our past, the ailments of our past, do not hold us down. But He has broken those chains and has lifted us up out of the miry clay and has placed us upon the solid rock to stand. Glory to God. Now, as we are at that time and we are looking to the great work that God has done and continues to do in our lives. Yeah, you can go ahead and start getting up here. I am privileged and honored to be a part of this. It's always something different. You know, as a minister, you bump into people and you get to interact with them on a day-to-day basis or a weekly basis, and you get to know them on that level. But it's something else when they are, in a sense, family. 6 years ago, I married into this family that has been attending here, and it has been a transformative process, going from the rigid stick that I was to a little bit more flexible. I'm still a little rigid. We're working on that. But just as much as my wife has impacted me, the extended family, both those members here and her immediate family have impacted me and helped me in many ways. And when I got a message earlier this year that my sister-in-law desired to be baptized, well, I first took a moment to pause, look up to heaven, and ask, Lord, why me? Like that old song. What have I done to deserve that privilege? and to hear the little bit of testimony there. I'm not an emotional man. You may know this, but again, that's one of those things that we're working on. But by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, I can cry, and I did that day. And I'm probably going to today. But as we're getting ready here, we are remembering that time of baptism and dedication. Now I'm going to go back there. And it's going to be an experience. Oh. Even the cars are celebrating with us today. But just as we see it written, when one of these is welcomed into the family, all of heaven rejoices. So I'll be around and get there in a bit.
As he makes his way around and as they get situated on that side, you are welcome to join if you want to. There is space on this side of the banister and on the other side as well. And so that way you can see and hear a little bit more closely what's going on with our baptism right over here. So if you want to join on the platform, feel free. There's just a little step getting up here. So if you need any assistance. But like I said, you can see and hear so much better from up towards the front.